Current events.
Cutting edge.
Faith.
It's awesome.
Encouragement on the go.
It's the SOS Radio Podcast.
We're talking to Danny Gokey today at SOS Radio. And so you've been in town working with Hope for Prisoners, and you have a charity that you work with. It's called Better Than I Found It. And you do an episode on TV, and you were recording a couple of things this week and talking to some community leaders in Las Vegas. I'm so curious to learn about what your heart was that you saw coming out of Las Vegas, because you met with the undersheriff, Kevin McMahill, Captain Kelly McMahill. You met with our district attorney. You met with some FBI agents. You're meeting with John Ponder. I mean, you're learning a lot about this city's heart.
I really am. And this city has a huge heart. You know, this TV show was created to tell stories of people and to resource those stories. And John Ponder is a modern day legend. To be quite honest, the guy is really turning. He didn't just turn his life around, but he's turned so many lives around through his story. And not just through him coming out. One of the stories that I found out is that he told the judge that he's a changed man. He received Christ, and now he wants to help other people. And when he gets out of there, he said, I'm going to help turn other people's lives around so they don't have to go through what I went through, he said. And it is amazing meeting the man who arrested him. It is amazing talking to the sheriffs, the leaders of the city, the district attorney, how his organization, Hope for Prisoners, is now changed the way that they approach the justice system here in Las Vegas, how they look at a full comprehensive look at saying, hey, does this person need prison, or does this person need a second chance? And has this person had a messed up life where he's kind of just had to claw his way through life, and now we can give him an opportunity to turn his life around and turn around his future? It is a comprehensive look at prison reform and at how we treat criminals of our society, actually turn them around and not just cage them.
One of the coolest things about the Hope for Prisoners program is the fact that there's law enforcement families working with families that are coming out of our prison system. And usually that's not happening. You know, normally you're thinking, okay, if I grew up in a low-income area, I'm thinking the police are after me. The police look at us as a crime-ridden area. They need to crack this. They look at, we want justice. And then, yeah, police families are saying, you know what? I actually got into this to serve and protect. I got into this because I wanted to help. I wanted to be a solution. And we all know that there's problems in our criminal system. There's problems in our court system. But we're seeing all these police officers that are saying, I want to get involved in doing more than just arrest people. I want to help people to have second chances. I want to help those that are fighting for that spot after they come out of prison. Yeah, they have a felony. People are kind of timid to want to hire them, but maybe we can be the liaisons to help do that. And you have a lot of police officers in our city in Las Vegas that are actually volunteering their time as mentors for men and women that are coming out of prison, and they're helping with the family reunification part when guys are coming out of prison with the felony on their record.
What I find so interesting to this is that the narrative that is right now with police and with society has not been a good narrative. And it's making these huge stories. Very small events are going publicly, and it's starting to, people are looking at, well, that's how all police are. You know, I was talking to the undersheriff when I was talking to Kevin. He really took responsibility, yeah, which was a huge piece. Now, that is his job, to enforce the law, to keep people safe and to protect people. But he took responsibility for something that is very difficult. There's a level of humility that has to be in your heart to say this, but there was no relationship between the community and between the police. And that we needed to go and say, hey, we're not here just to keep you safe, but we're here when we arrest you and when you've had a bad break in life. We're here to try to mentor you through that process so you never have to come back here again. You know, and he admittedly said that when he was a sheriff, when he first started, he was like, let me get these bad guys. Then he started realizing, wait, these bad guys, these are guys with hearts. And these are people, a lot of times, now there's some special cases, a lot of times never wanted this, but just kind of got thrown into this life. One statement, I'll just stay right here. One statement he said that just struck me, he said, when I first started, I was arresting people. He said, when I started arresting their kids,
yeah,
that messed me up, he said. And he said, this is not what police work is. And he just took responsibility for that. And the morale of the police department here has just, they don't go out just cracking down, trying to put bad people in prison. They're looking at these people saying, hey, we got to keep other people safe. But hey, how can we keep you safe from yourself? And how can we break this cycle that's been in your generational line of your family? I just find that fascinating. There's love, and anytime there's love added to the equation, there's actual restoration, there's hope, there's ability to change.
You know, what's so cool is we've talked about like people coming out of prison and our SOS radio team, and we met with John Ponder and his team with Hope for Prisoners, and we're talking about like the family reunification part is so important because you come out of prison, it's like, okay, here's your ID, here's the clothes you came in with, a few bucks that were in your wallet, maybe a bus ticket, and you're on your own. Yeah. And so you think like, okay, I got to get a job. I got to find a place to stay. I'm calling the couple people that I knew. But I mean, with cell phones now, I couldn't even tell you my brother's cell phone number because it's in my phone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? I just go click, call Andy, it's there. But I couldn't tell you the full number, right? And so you're thinking, oh, when was the last time I used a phone? And you're coming out of prison, you're thinking about reconnecting with family, and the reunification is huge because you want to see your kids. You got to talk to your ex. You got to deal with the situations that happened 10 years ago, and there's some raw stuff that may not be settled. And so when we were thinking about Christmas, we were thinking about all the kids that have incarcerated parents, and these kids that just feel forgotten on Christmas morning, wondering, where's mom and dad? Am I going to get a call from my dad? They may not even know that mom and dad are in prison because mom might not tell them that dad is over at CCDC. You know, he might not tell them that he's over, you know, in Indian Springs. Like, the kids just might think, like, dad's not in the picture, dad's working, he lives somewhere else, I don't have a relationship with him. But Christmas morning, every kid's looking for those gifts and thinking, hey, I'm celebrating with my family, and half of my family's not here. So it was cool because we were sitting down at, like, a TGI Fridays, and we're brainstorming, like, what can we do to make this, like, a family party where they get to celebrate Christmas? Even if we can't technically do it on Christmas morning, we could do something for these kids. And so we're like, what would make it fun? What would make it like feel like home? What would make it feel more than like, okay, we're in the chow hall of a prison and here's a buffet table with a cheap tablecloth on it and just some buffet food, some cream corn and a little bit of turkey and some mashed potatoes that were probably from an instant packet. And we're thinking like, what if you could give them a real living room setting? And so we're like, what would it take? How many families? We started with like 12 or 15 families. We grew it to 20, 25 families. Last couple of years, we've been doing 50 families. And I'm talking about a whole auditorium where there's a couch, a sofa, a love seat, a big coffee table with like Christmas cookies on the coffee table and nuts and fruit and things like that in the bowls. Obviously, gifts all around, a fresh cut Christmas tree, decorated, lights everywhere, okay? And the kids are coming in and mom or dad who are incarcerated are sitting there waiting for them at the Christmas tree. I'm talking like the hugs that you see are the bear hugs. Like, I haven't seen you in like 6 months, son. I haven't seen you in 3 years. And it's just like tears. And it's just like the most heartwarming thing I've ever experienced.
How many years have you guys been doing this now?
This is our fourth year doing this.
Wow. Do you share it on social media?
What absolutely. It's kind of what we're known for. I mean, it's a heart that we have at SOS Radio
doing it
for our community.
Yeah.
Our mayor had actually outlined 5 or 6 serious issues in the Las Vegas Valley that hadn't really changed in the last decade or two. And her husband was actually the mayor before her. And so she came in and she was like, okay, what can we do to tackle some of these issues that haven't changed? When my husband Oscar was the mayor, it was one issue. It's still here. And in need, it's addiction, the breakdown of the family, number 2, jobs, homelessness, education, human trafficking. Well, you think about how many of those issues affect families that are incarcerated and affect kids. Well, addiction, that's a big one. That causes a lot of the incarceration. The breakdown of the family, the children. You know, jobs, not having those, homelessness, education, human trafficking. And we started thinking about these issues and saying, what can we do to serve this city better? I mean, we're a Christian radio station in the heart of Las Vegas. People think Christian radio would never do well in a city like Las Vegas. And SOS has been like one of the top 5 highest rated radio stations in this city over the years. And so people say, how do you do that? Well, obviously we're playing great music, we're having interesting discussions, but it's about serving this community. That's what radio started for. It's like, how do we better serve this city? And so we partner with organizations and find the experts like John Ponder and the Hope for Prisoners team. And we say, let's create some meaningful things to actually serve hurting people in our community.
You know, thank you for bringing that story to us. This John Ponder story and Hope for Prisoners has been so heartwarming and touching. And one of the goals that we set out with this show, Better Than I Found It, is that we wanted to team up with media partners. And you brought this story. And literally, I think this story is just going to change the landscape of how people look at law enforcement, at how prisoners are treated. And, you know, like, what is the plan to rehabilitate people back into society? So SOS Radio, we appreciate you guys.
Talking to Danny Gokey today at SOS Radio. You're coming through Las Vegas for the Christmas tour next Friday. The next Saturday, you're going to be in Southern California. So many of our listeners have been calling, asking for tickets, but you're bringing Natalie Grant along with you.
Yes, so this is our fourth year of doing the Celebrate Christmas tour. You guys, I'm telling you, it is my favorite tour of the entire year. There's something so special about this one. But, you know, we've never done it on the West Coast, let alone Las Vegas. I don't think I've done it.
Why is that? Come on.
I don't know. Like, I'm not sure, but I'm going to tell you this, it is overdue and we're coming here. I've done private shows in Vegas with companies and corporations, but now a ticketed show, so really excited to be doing it here on the entire West Coast.
So what was that Christmas gift you always asked for but you never ever received when you were a kid, Danny?
Where do I start? My mom
was one of those, huh?
Yeah, well, we grew up, it was tough. You know, early on, I remember having to, this wasn't a normality. This was just one or two years I had to go work pulling weeds at like 12 years old, 11 years old to buy school supplies. Because, I mean, things were tough, but my parents never lacked in showing us love. And so, but there were things that I did get. There were small budgets, but I can remember now. All right, here we go. The one thing that I did get, I remember when Home Alone was a big movie. It still is a big movie, by the way. Everyone loves it. Remember that? Was it a Talk Boy?
Uh-huh.
The thing where he used to like slow down the voice and make it sound like a man. And then I don't know. Keep the change, you filthy animal. Bro, let me tell you, that thing was the best.
We're talking to Danny Gokey on SOS Radio. So you just put out a new Christmas album. I know you and your kids were dancing around all summer listening to Christmas songs because that's the reality of when you have to record these to get them out in time for Christmas.
Exactly.
But when you think about the words and some of these old Christmas carols, what were the ones that were jumping out to you when you're like, I got to put this on my album. I got to do my own version of this because this song, it's just...
You know, one of them was Joy to the World. I hadn't done that one and... Man, we did such a special spin on that one. There's another one, Angels We Have Heard on High. We did a complete different, like, worshipful spin on that one. Silent Night. I mean, come on, a classic. I did one version with Carrie Job, added my son, Danny, my six-year-old son, Danny, to the end of it. He sang Away in a Manger.
Aww.
And then I did a Spanish version. I know there's a lot of Latinos that I speak Spanish. I'm a white boy who speaks Spanish. But there's a lot of Latinos who listen to SOS Radio because we're in a part of the country that I love this part of the country, the food, everything. So I invited David Archuleta, who was the season before me on American Idol. We did Noche de Paz in Espanol.
We're talking about our favorite Christmas carols this morning with Danny Gokey on SOS Radio. How's the importance of Christmas grown in you since you've become a parent, Danny?
It's so important. Interesting thing, like I get asked all the time, like, what are your Christmas traditions? And I look at people, I'm like, I don't know yet. My kids are so young, we're developing these Christmas traditions. And so we do it differently, though, than my family does it. Like, when we were growing up, we would open presents and celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day was just a day to hang with the family. You know, it wasn't like Christmas Eve. Now in our family, the kids wake up in the morning and open presents. Now we don't pass the tradition of Santa Claus down, although we watch the movies and we enjoy what it all kind of represents. But that's a tradition too, that we just tell our kids it's from us. Like, hey guys, these are from us. And so, but my kids, I love the curiosity in their eyes. And so.
Now what part of the Christmas experience does music play for your family, Danny?
Check this out. So on my new Christmas album, I put Danny on it, my little son, Danny Jr. on it. He did not want to do it.
No, Dad.
Oh, no. And so I remember I was sitting in the car, I was like, Danny, well, what do you want to be? Do you want to be a singer like me? No. Well, what do you want to be? I want to be a dad. That's all. His teacher, I just did a parent teachers conference with him. And she was telling me that she had all the kids write what you want to be and write a story, why you want to be that. She said, your son touched my heart because when I asked him what he wanted to be, he goes, I want to be a dad. He literally says that to anyone asking, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a dad. So guess what? So being the genius dad that I am, I teach my kids a lot about money because I was raised in poverty. And I think I wanted to break that over my family and talk about giving and God's principles with finances, which I didn't know about growing up. My whole point of this is I've taught my kids, like, you don't get anything to clean your room and you don't get anything when you make a mess. You clean that up. I said, money comes when you provide a service that helps people. When you provide something, that's what, I know this is so deep, right, for a four-year-old and a six-year-old. But, you know, capitalism really simply is, it forces people to have to make and create something that other people want. You know what I mean? So anyways, I said, Danny, I really want you my Christmas record. I looked at him, I said, I'll pay you $100. He's like, I'll do it, Dad. So that is his $100 vocal on that song. And someone's like, that's a lot of money. Well, my son's very generous. He tithes. The first thing he did with that money is he bought gifts for everyone else. He, out of the $100 that he gave his money and offering and to the Lord, he probably spent like $30 on himself. The rest he spent on everyone else. It's unbelievable, that kid's heart. He is a giver, which I wasn't when I was a kid. So my son is learning the true meaning of Christmas.
See, I love the fact that when you ask your son, what do you want to be when you grow up? He says, a dad. My son said, I want to work at Sonic. And I was like, really? Why Sonic? And he goes, because I heard you get paid extra if you roller skate.
Dude, how old is your son?
He's 9.
He's a genius. Ladies and gentlemen, that man might do something really big in this world. I'll tell you that.
And then my daughter says, I want to work at Target because I want to wear red to work every day.
Dude, your kids, they know what they want. And she's how old?
10.
All right, bro. You got kids who know what they want to do.
Yeah. Well, I might have to cash in on the Target employee discount for all the Christmas gifts that, you know, when I have all these grandkids. So, you know what? It might work out for me.
Let's just be honest. Target probably is one of my favorite places to go during the holidays. I like how they do Christmas. I don't like how, like, organized and clean their stores are. I like going to all stores and seeing, like, you know, the department stores especially, man. It's like walking into a winter wonderland.
Yep. Got the music playing over the sound system. And, well, maybe someone from Target will be listening and they'll be bumping the new Danny Gokey record this Christmas.
I hope so. And let me tell you this. What I'm loving about Christmas now is that, like, it's overshadowing Halloween a little bit, which I kind of like. Halloween kind of creeps me out. We're, like, celebrating dead things. But let's just be honest, what is up with Christmas overshadowing Thanksgiving? Like, completely.
Seriously.
We have forgot about how to be thankful. But I will say this, I kind of like my Thanksgivings with Christmas decorations.
Seriously, it's okay to have 50 inflatables in your front yard when your family comes over for turkey on Thanksgiving.
Don't nobody want to see, like, a string of dead leaves hanging up in a department store, though, either. Like, who wants brown? Like, you notice the decorations at Halloween is, like, brown and orange? No wonder why we skipped it. We gotta redo the face of Thanksgiving. Target, we need your help. If anyone can do it, Target can do it.
We're talking to Danny Gokey today at SWS Radio. So there will be no dead leaves hanging on this Christmas tour when you come through Friday at Central Church, right?
I prefer my Thanksgivings with a lot of Christmas decorations. That's all I'm saying.
Natalie Grant, Danny Gokey, Central Church, Friday over in Henderson, and Saturday at the Riverside Municipal Auditorium in Southern California.
Yes, and can I just tell you guys, invite your friends, invite your family. This is such a special night. It is so classy. It's me and Natalie. We carry the show together. This is not like, you know, in typical, especially in Christian music, one band goes on, then another band goes on. We have one band that we share, and we have singers in the band, and the whole nine. But we come out and we combine the show together. We do songs together. I mean, the classics.
A lot of people forget about the fact that all these old Christmas carols essentially are worship songs proclaiming the glory, the power, the mightiness, the majesty of our Lord who is King.
And that's exactly the vision approach I took with my newest Christmas album. It's The Greatest Gift, a collection of Christmas songs. And it's with Angels We Have Heard. It's the very first song on the album. It is a worshipful approach, joy to the world. Carrie Job's a worship artist, and we just added this little worship element inside of the song, a free flow, and Noche de Paz with David Archuleta, who, amazing voice.
Yeah.
By the way, you got to check out the prayer. Me and Natalie do. Have you heard the version of the prayer?
Yeah, we're playing it.
Oh, my goodness. You guys, this song is my most streamed song by far on this record. Natalie's husband produced it. So I can't say enough about this song. I can't say enough about the record. We took that approach, and we kept classic. So my album is kind of like a show. It's classic worship Christmas.
Did you ever dig into any of the stories of these old Christmas carols when you're sort of prepping through these, just going, what was this person writing about? What was the heart of this song? Like, I want to sing joy to the world. I want to sing Angels We Have Heard on High. It's like, ooh, I'm looking at the Latin version of this. I'm looking at the words here. I'm looking at the angels singing, the choirs in the sky. What part of the story jumped out to you?
Would it disappoint you if I told you I didn't have time to do that? Now you got me on a mission and want to learn some of these songs. Okay, so let's just kind of rewind a little back. There was a song on my first Christmas record that I put out called Gimme Jesus. It's not a Christmas song. I made it a Christmas song because one time, a couple years ago, Amy Grant and Vince Gill, you know, they asked me if I would sing at their Lighting of the Green at Lipscomb University that they do annually.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, let me pray about it. Yes. When they ask, you say yes. I was eating him back, just stuffing my face full of chocolates, like just like gorging on food because I love food. I'm sorry. And I heard Vince Gill sing a song called Give Me Jesus. And man, it tore me apart in a good way. And it became my song that entire year in 2014 that I would go to hotels, I would listen to. I would just be in my hotels weeping like, God, I just want more of you. I need you. And when I went to go make the Christmas album the following year, which is also a great Christmas album. Honestly, they're both really great.
Yeah.
I put on the Christmas album, and I remember my producer being like, why do you want that song? I was like, I just want this song because this is the absolute meaning of Christmas. It was written by African slaves about 300 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Who they had nothing. They wrote, they would sing spirituals that would encourage them. Because, man, you want to talk about their families are being stripped from them, their dreams taken away, but they had Jesus. And they said, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus. What an amazing testimony.
Downloading audio.
Nonstop. Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
Getting ready for Thanksgiving on SOS Radio. We're talking with Danny Gokey. How are you?
Man, I am thankful. Isn't that fitting?
It is. This is the week of gratitude.
Yes. And we just read our Jesus Calling devotion together here with my manager. And I saw the book here. I was like, all right. And it talked about thankfulness. Thankfulness opens you up to these experiences, which provide further reasons to be grateful. So in essence, what it's saying, when you're thankful, you get a taste of heaven. And as you're thankful even more, you start experiencing more of heaven. And your path becomes an upward spiral to an ever-increasing road of gladness. And so I thought that was cool. I said, you know, one of my favorite preachers, he made a comment. His name is Keith Moore. He said, the Lord one day just doing whatever, and the Lord stopped him and said, you want to increase your capacity to receive more from me? And that's what the Lord asked him. He said, yes. And then the Lord said, cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. When you are thankful, you're able to receive, your capacity to receive increases. And so it's interesting, like, thankfulness is the key that opens up to more gladness, more joy, more benefits that God has for us.
There was this Harvard Medical School study on mental health, and it said that gratitude can improve relationships, like with couples, individuals who took time to express gratitude to their spouse not only felt more positive to that person, they also felt comfortable expressing concerns about relationships in a new way when they were being thankful. And the same thing for managers. When they remember to say thank you to the people they work with, the employees have a whole lot more satisfaction, a whole different motivation. It's like you look at all these studies on gratitude. The science behind it says when you're saying, hey, thank you, it's doing something. It's activating it. Not just in your heart, but in your brain.
Wow, it's a mental health study. Check that out. And what is on the rise right now is mental health issues. And maybe it has to do, we love living in our country, which is land of the free. We're technologically advanced and we have everything at our fingertips, but we become entitled to it and forgot what we really have. And maybe that feeds into that depression that a lot of people walk through is because you're so used to it. I sometimes sit back and I think like, what would it have been like had I had to go down to the pond, the lake, the river, take all my clothes, a little washboard, and just wash it? I'm not sure they use ponds or rivers. I wasn't there. I'm just guessing. But they had to go draw water from somewhere, clean water. And then you had to hang it to dry. Or what about those back in the day, the settlers, when they were traveling from one side of the country to the other to settle in new areas, yet they're with oxen and on what, carriages? Are those called carriages? Never been in one.
Covered wagons.
Oregon there you go. Trail. Wagons. The Oregon Trail. But, I mean, you think about it. Like, those people, man, when they just finally got a meal, when they shot it, they gutted it, they skinned it. Man, when you were eating a dinner, dinner started early that morning, I guess. And it was finally prepared for you when 12 hours later after the meat cured. I don't know. I wasn't there. What I'm saying is we have all these things and we forgot that that's not normal.
But you know what? I'm thankful for technology. I'm thankful for all the hard work my mom and my dad put in when I was a kid so I could have those meals.
God just tapped into the secret, y'all.
And now we can just be thankful. Kids, it's like all full circle. It's like, do you realize when you were like 5 that one day this is going to be on you? Now you have like 4 kids.
Bro. 4 kids. Now, I'm thankful for my kids, and I love how you kind of started out. You're like, you know what? I'm thankful for technology. Thank you for grocery stores. I'm thankful for cars and airplanes. We don't have to travel in wagons, you know, to do this radio interview. Imagine me on a wagon with oxen. You know, like, Scott, I'll be there in about 8 months to do the interview with you.
We wouldn't go to lunch. We'd actually start to boil the water when we got here during the morning show. We might eat about 3 o'clock, send you on your way with like a wagon full of food so you don't like melt when you're driving through the desert.
Well, I'm into you sending me home with stuff. I'm into that part.
Starbucks is about as far as I've got.
That's as far as it goes. Well, I'm thankful.
Thanks for listening to the SOS Radio Podcast with Scott Harreld. If this discussion encouraged you, feel free to share it with your friends on social media.